So I'm going to share with you about that. We've been looking at 1 Corinthians 13 as the foundation text of these messages of building blocks for healthy relationships. I promise you this, that 1 Corinthians 13 has the answer to all your relationship problems. Every marriage problem can be solved just by living out 1 Corinthians 13. That's all you have to do. If you just go there to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter in God's Word, and if you just begin to live love like God tells us right there in 1 Corinthians 13, then your marriage and any relationship, it'll be all right. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says this, "Love never gives up, never loses faith, it is always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance." And I want you to circle, underline that in your outline this morning, that love endures through every circumstance. It goes on to say there that love never fails. Never fails. That's what true love is all about. So this morning, what I want you to do in your outline, I want you to think about someone that you need to connect with or reconnect with, and I want you to write their initials. In fact, I've got a line there provided for you in your outline. Just write there on the initials of someone you need to connect with or reconnect with. Maybe a commitment's been broken. Maybe there's a relationship that needs to be repaired in your life. There's been some broken relationship, and maybe some relationship that's just suffering or it's not as healthy as it should be. And you might just want to write the initials of that person down in your outline this morning and think about them and think about yourself in this message this morning and how that relationship can be restored. Where does lack of commitment come from? Let's talk about that for a minute. Lack of commitment. And lack of commitment, it comes from the absence of vulnerability. And that we've been learning about that in this series, right? Lack of vulnerability. And when you have lack of vulnerability, when you feel like you're hiding something from your spouse or from someone else in a relationship, they can sense that. And it's not authentic, right? And you don't feel like you can be yourself. And it's very important that you have vulnerability in a relationship or you're not going to have commitment, right? So there's a lack of vulnerability, the absence of healthy conflict, like we talked about last Sunday. And healthy conflict, you've got to be willing to go through what I call the tunnel of conflict. Because if you're willing to be committed to that other person in your relationship through that tunnel of conflict, guess what's on the end? Guess what the light of that end of that tunnel is? It's intimacy. It's a healthy relationship. No relationship is going to stand the test of time if you're not willing to be committed to go through that tunnel of conflict like we talked about last Sunday, right? So we've got to be committed to that. So lack of commitment comes from the absence of vulnerability and absence of healthy conflict. And then there's the absence of just openness, honesty, and civility. And which is one of the top needs. And if you look at his needs, her needs, we got some more copies back here on the welcome table. If you missed it last Sunday, you can pick one up this morning. And it talks about there, one of the top three needs, I think it was the third need of a woman, is openness and honesty in a relationship. And if we're going to have trust in a relationship, then we've got to have the kind of relationship where we feel free to be ourselves, that we're just open and honest with one another, and we can share the good and the bad and the ugly with one another and still love one another. That's how a relationship stands the test of time, and that's how relationships last. Now, civility is real important, right? You got to have civility, and because love is kind. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. And sometimes when we go through conflict and difficult times in our marriage, we get unkind, and we're not very civil. And we got to be very open and honest, and don't forget about this common courtesy. Right? And a lot of common courtesy can really save relationships, right? So we need to think about those things, all right? And one other thing, if you have the lack of commitment, it comes with absence of vulnerability and healthy conflict, the absence of openness, honesty, and civility. And when you don't have these things, you know what happens, right? If you don't have these things, bitterness begins to come up. A root of bitterness begins to grow in your heart, in your life. You begin to have bitterness and resentment. And if that root is not dealt with, if that root of bitterness is not dealt with, and if it continues to grow and to fester, and if we don't deal with it in a healthy way, then that can lead to all kind of problems in a marriage relationship, emotional affairs, physical affairs. It can lead to divorce. It can lead to all kind of hurt and brokenness and abuse, isolation, separation. It can lead to all kind of problems in relationships when you don't deal with that bitterness and resentment. Commitment requires careful attention to the details of a relationship. If such attention is not given, then it will cause problems. Now, and it will lead to different affairs and things. And I've always liked the saying, the grass isn't greener on the other side. You like that? And it's not as green as we think it is on the other side. And if it is green, if the grass is greener on the other side, it's just because there's a septic tank up underneath. All right? And that septic tank is leaking, and there's still some junk up underneath there. It's going to have to be dealt with. And so you get the picture, you get the idea. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be things. We all have issues. Deal with it, right? All right. That's what we need to make those T-shirts for our Celebrate Recovery groups. All right. ICC, Celebrate Recovery. We all have issues. And then on the back, deal with it, right? So that's what it's all about. We've got to have that. And you know what? I just want to just say something about Celebrate Recovery since I've been at this church. What a great ministry that is, because I look at the folks on Celebrate Recovery. We've seen people get baptized as a result of that ministry here in our church. And they're some of the healthiest people in our church because, man, they're living and learning those principles that they teach all the time. And if you're not involved with that ministry, it'd be a great one to be a part of. So, so think about these things. Now, the Word of God says in James chapter 4, verse 1, where this lack of commitment really does come from. God's word says it best in James 4, 1, when God said, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you, or the selfish desires that are at war within you?" We've also been looking at Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21 in this series of messages, and we see here that when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, when you follow your selfish desires, your lives will produce these results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So we don't want to have those kind of evil desires. We don't want to feed those selfish desires. We don't want to think about those things. We don't want to be doing those things. We want to have commitment and love in our relationship. And the way you have that is if you feed your divine nature, which is we read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We've been looking at that in this series of messages, and we see that the fruit of Spirit is what? You remember what the fruit of the Spirit is? See, yes, love is the greatest of all. And you know, fruit of the Spirit, now I want to say this, it's not the gifts of the Spirit, it's not just given when you're born again. The fruit of the Spirit is developed, it's learned. Through a lifetime of commitment to one another, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. And that's what I'm emphasizing this morning about commitment, faithfulness, and self-control. Now that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we should look like as God's people, as the church, as Christians, in our marriage relationship, the relationships with our children, those that we work with. Day in, day out, we ought to have those kind of divine qualities, that fruit of the Spirit in our life every day. Now, I want to invite someone up here this morning to share with us a little bit more. Joel and Rachel Brooks, I want them to come now. And I introduced them to you a few weeks ago, and we got to hear from them a little bit. I appreciate them so much. They've been doing our Fireproof Your Marriage class that's right after this message this morning over there in Conference Center Room A. And I want you to hear more from them this morning, okay? And I just got a few questions I want to ask them because They're one of the first couples I met when I started going here and on staff here, and they've got a story to share. I like to call them our fireproof couple here at Integrity. They've got a fireproof story, and I don't care if your relationship has is gone real bad, if it's just gone south and you're having trouble, or if your relationship is going great, and if things are going great and wonderful, you can really learn something from this couple. God has shown them some things that we can learn from them, and I want us to listen to them this morning. Joel, Rachel, thank y'all for your willingness to be here this morning. I just want y'all to share, first of all, when did you begin to realize that there were some problems going on in your relationship?
Well, we had been married for about 12 years, and we had recently moved to Wisconsin from South Florida, which was a drastic change. But we thought that God had led us there for a purpose. So Joel was on staff at a very large church, and I was homeschooling the children, stay-at-home mom. And if you would have asked me our marriage, you know, the status, I would have said everything was normal. We both came from homes that had been broken up by adultery, and what we thought was normal, you know, because it had been so misconstrued growing up. And I guess I started to feel uncomfortable about things that he would come home and share with me about a co-worker who happened to be a friend of mine that I had tried to convince him to hire as someone to work with him because I thought she would be a wonderful helpmate for him at work and take some stress off. And she was also a member of our small group. And I just started to feel real uncomfortable and uneasy to the point that I started to ask questions. And the questions seemed to aggravate him even more. And he's going to tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, this kind of thing happens every day. It started out as simple as, walking to work. It's easy to fall. It's easy to get tempted. I'm one of those guys, I like to fix problems. I like to help people. So it started out as simple as listening to somebody with their problems, and I tried helping with her marriage. And it started out as simple, you know, like the movie Fireproof. You'll hear things like, you're so wonderful, you're such a great Christian man, and my ego and pride just took over. It's one of those things that it's as simple as that. As time went on, started talking more about our relationship at work, meaning, how's your family? Let's talk about that. How can I help you? While at home, things were getting worse. We started to separate between Rachel and myself. I didn't want to spend time at home. I'd rather go to work because I was hearing good things at work. And at home, I was hearing the negative things. Why aren't you doing this? Why can't you do this? Why are you talking to this person and not to me? It was very frustrating. I didn't want to go home. And it took that little seed that Satan put in there that, you know what, go this other route. It's that pleasure. Now, nothing physical ever happened. And I have to say that. Nothing physical happened. This was an emotional affair. I never knew what an emotional affair was until this happened. It was kind of devastating to me and to our family. But it was one of those things that, you know, I went to one of the pastors at the church and said, listen, I need help. There's a problem in my marriage, and I need help. However, I didn't want to give up those so-called pleasures. I didn't want to give up that feeling of comfort and just the way she was treating me at work was the way I should have been treated at home, and I didn't think about that because I was blinded by that. And we continued on. We went to counseling, but my heart wasn't in it. And we really didn't realize there was a problem until I went back and said, you know, I want a divorce. Not to go with this other person, I just was taking the easy way out. I didn't know which way to do. I was fighting within myself. My insides was like, I know I'm doing something wrong, but I don't know how to end this. I don't know what to do. So I was trying to take the easy way out. At that point, I lost my job at the church. Now, most people, you say you lost your job because of an emotional affair. What is that? Well, it's something that's very important to us now. But at that point, we realized we have a major, major problem.
So what did y'all do to correct those problems? Share with us how you did that.
Well, like Joel shared, we were already in counseling, and mm-hmm. it had been about a month, and until there was complete separation from the other woman, and he was able to release the sin that he was in and mm-hmm. just feel everything, and everything came off. We were able to get to the nitty-gritty, and really the emotional affair was just like icing. I mean, the cake had already been baked, basically, in our marriage. What we thought was normal was not normal. We weren't meeting each other's needs. We didn't even know what a love language was, let alone trying to meet it. We knew that we weren't feeling love with each other. So with the counseling, we were able to understand what the love languages were and to realize that what I wasn't giving him at home, she was giving him at work. So basically, you know, if you're not going to feed the love language, somebody else is, because they're going to desire it. They desire to feel love. So that's one of the things was we went to feel what the love languages were, and we understood that. And it was funny that you brought up 1 Corinthians 13. I did a lot of praying through that on my own part, because if I wasn't able to show that love to him and do the things that it was saying to do, there was no way that it would work. So I prayed that prayer a lot, just trying to read through that scripture and trying to see if I was available to work through and be committed to do those things. And the other thing was just continuing to understand that it was okay that we had these problems and to address them and say, you know what, I know that he was at a church and everything, but to get the help and to see that the help was available.
So what do y'all do now to keep your relationship healthy and happy? Share with us, what do you do now to keep it that way?
Well, you know, what we experienced was what I refer to as the storm. Sometimes you have to rebuild and reconstruct. And God kind of allowed this to happen so that we can start from the ground up and have a firm foundation. So if you don't have that foundation, guess what? These storms are going to come in, they're going to blow you down, and you're not going to know what's going to hit you. So we started over. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to start over. It's not the best prideful thing or to have to do this, but you know what? Sometimes you got to suck it up and do it.
That's right.
And part of that is agreeing with your wife. Sometimes you have to agree with her, but...
A lot of times, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of times, but...
Yes, dear.
You know, it's being involved in classes that teach you how to love, because you know what, guys? We always don't do that. We care more about other things, and loving our wives is not the first priority, and it needs to be, because if it's not, you're going to fall. I guarantee you will fall. So our role is, you know, we're still learning. Every day we're learning more. We're teaching this class, but it's not just for the people that come to our class. It's for us too, because you never stop learning. So sharing love is very important. Talking to each other is very important. And these are things that we did not do. And now we're having to go back and learn, how do you talk to each other? How do you share? How do you love and outlove? You can never outlove. So it's the building stones of love. Yes. We like competitions.
Okay. Who loves who more, right?
That's right.
Good. Well, thank y'all. Everybody, Joel and Rachel Brooks, thank you very much. Appreciate it. You know, as they were sharing that, I remember a time that my wife shared with me when we lived in Fort Worth, Texas, when I was going to seminary there, and she was working at a hospital, and she actually came up to me and shared with me something I didn't want to hear, but she said that there was a doctor at work that said something to the effect of, Christy, I just want you to know that I'm drawn to you. And I said, oh, really? So... Now that I look back on that, I'm glad that she was willing to have the openness and honesty to share that with me And I think I did end up going to visit that doctor. Now, I was a little more buff back then, and I think I did something like this right here, you know. But anyway, thank God that she wasn't drawn to that doctor, right? But anyway, praise God and thank God for that. This love thing, this commitment that we ought to have towards one another, like Joel and Rachel said, we've got to work on this thing. We've got to pay close attention to one another and give this thing careful attention. I want to share with you now about three very important choices that we all have to make that will weld any relationship together. There's three choices. And when I talk about welding a relationship together, I want you to think about this. When a piece of steel that's supposed to be strong, and it is strong, and something happens and it becomes broken, then a welder can come along and he can weld those two pieces of steel back together. I called a welder this week and I asked him, I said, is it true that when you weld a piece of steel back together that the point of that weld is stronger than any other point on that piece of steel? And he said, yeah, that's true. As a matter of fact, it is. He said there's some properties in the welding process that cause that point to be stronger than any other point on the steel. Now, I think there's a very good lesson we can learn from that when our relationship becomes broken, whether it's a marriage or a parent-child relationship or brother-sister relationship or just a friendship, then if it becomes broken, then if we allow God, if we'll make three very important choices I'm going to share with you this morning quickly, if we'll make those choices, it can weld your relationship back together stronger than it ever has been before. Would you say, Joel and Rachel, that your relationship is stronger today than it was before what y'all shared with us? You had an old marriage, now you've got a new marriage. And that's what God can do. And I've heard other couples that same thing. They said, once I had an old marriage, now I've got a new marriage, and I never dreamed it could be this good. And they thank God for it. So let me share with you what you've got to have if you're going to have a relationship that's going to be welded together, that will stand the test of time and the storms of life. Number one is you've got to choose to believe. You've got to choose to believe in Jesus Christ. And when you have the foundation of Christ as your relationship, then you come closer together. And it's like this. It's like, you know, Jesus is up here. And if you got, you know, if you're looking to Jesus and you're trying to draw closer to Jesus, and then that other person in relationship, if they're also looking to Jesus and they're trying to move closer to Jesus and to be more like Jesus, as both of you are trying to be more like Jesus together, moving towards him, you become closer together and you become one. See how that works? So you've got to believe in Christ. Also, you've got to believe in one another. You've got to believe in that other person, that relationship. You've got to believe that they have awesome potential in the kingdom of God. And you ought to think of that other person in your relationship as I'm going to do the best I can as a friend or whatever that relationship may be. Then you need to say, you know what, as husband, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to help my wife reach her full potential in Christ. And I'm going to do whatever I can to help meet her needs in the name of Jesus. And wives need to look at their husband and say, you know what? He's a great man. I believe in him. I see greatness in him. And I respect him. And as a wife, I want to help meet his needs as best I can and help him reach his full potential in Christ. But the problem is, oftentimes we're thinking, man, you know what? My wife, she needs to meet my needs. And wife's thinking, you know what? He needs to meet my needs. And instead of thinking about the other person, we're thinking about ourselves. And we got to stop being so selfish, and we need to start looking at that other person in relationship and believing in them and believing in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 say this: don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And you might want to underline, how can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? Now, traditionally, this has been referred to as don't be unequally yoked in a marriage. In any relationship, but especially marriage, when you make that kind of commitment and vow to one another as husband and wife, you don't want to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever if you're a believer. Because if you're trying to move towards Christ and that other person isn't, the closer you get to Christ, the further away you're going to get from that other person. And they're always going to be moving away from you rather than moving together. Because, you know, in a marriage relationship, the husband or the wife isn't the most important person in the relationship. God is. Jesus is the most important person in the relationship. And that's the unifying factor. That's what welds a relationship together. When a husband and a wife can come together and say, I want us to have an awesome marriage in Christ and in Christ alone. And I want our relationship to be the best it can be based on Him. And when we look to Christ and learn from Christ and learn from His Word and learn more about Him, we can learn more about one another and we can truly have a great relationship, okay? That's what that scripture's talking about right there. That kind of relationship. Not only do we need to choose to believe, but we've got to choose to belong. And I love the book of Ruth and what it talks about commitment. The book of Ruth has some really good things to say about commitment. And, you know, I was thinking about Ruth this week, and, you know, the guys that were in the Don Juan class with me, y'all have been proud of me. I did pretty good. I surprised my wife. We went to the Macaroni Grill. I surprised her there. I knew that was her favorite restaurant, so I took her over there, I had gotten her some pink tulips. I knew pink was her favorite color, and so I did good with that. And, we got the macaroni. I made reservations. We were at the Macaroni Grill, and we didn't have to wait in line for the restaurant. We just had to wait just for a few minutes. We sat down, and it was just a nice romantic atmosphere. And then I got to thinking, I got to share a message tomorrow. And I know I'm talking about Ruth. I was just thinking about this. And then I put my hand over on the table, and I just grabbed my wife's hand, and y'all would have been disappointed with me here, guys. I messed up. I said, Christy, we need to get back home tonight at a decent hour, and before I go to bed, I need to think about Ruth. And I was like, wait a minute. What did I just say? I didn't mean it that way at all. Wait a minute. She said, Ruth, who's Ruth? But I don't know where that came from. But anyway. But sure enough, I mean, that happened, didn't it? I was like, man, okay. But let me share with you. Ruth, when you look at the book of Ruth, what you learn about in the book of Ruth is that it's about a woman named Naomi who had a husband and two sons. The land of Judah was in famine, so they went somewhere else. They went off to a far-off land, Moab, and then Naomi's husband died. Her sons died. Her sons had married a woman named Ruth and a woman named Orpah, Naomi decided she was going to go back to Judah. She was going to go back to Bethlehem, as a matter of fact. Orpah and Ruth decided to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem because Naomi didn't have any more relationships with anybody in Moab, right? So as Orpah and Ruth began to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem with her, Naomi finally said, y'all need to go back to where your family is. You have family back there. You don't have any family in Bethlehem and Judah where I'm going. Y'all just go on back and be with your family and make the most of your life. Orpah went back, Ruth stayed and followed her to Bethlehem. And so what I'm fixing to share with you, Ruth chapter 1 verses 15 and 17 is in the context of a relationship between a mother-in-law, Naomi, and a daughter-in-law, Ruth. Okay, and it just so happens my mama's here this morning, and my wife is here, and this would be like my wife saying this to my mama. Christy, you want to read it? Huh? Okay, I'll read it. It's Ruth chapter 1 verses 16 through 17 says, but Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. Now, we hear that scripture a lot in marriages a lot of times in the context of a marriage between a husband and wife, but it was originally meant in between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. So much for those outlaws, right? They need to be in-laws, okay? And do you see the commitment of Ruth She had resolved herself. God had put it in her heart that she was going to stay close with her mother-in-law and be friends with her entire life. And because she honored God in a way like that, when they got back to Bethlehem, she met a man named Boaz. And Boaz was impressed with her and her character. And God blessed Ruth in some amazing ways. And what I'm telling you this morning, if you choose to believe in Jesus Christ, and if you not only choose to believe in Jesus Christ, but belong to Christ, and not be ashamed to be known as a man or a woman of God, a follower of Christ, God will bless your life in some amazing ways. But you've got to have that kind of commitment to Christ. And not only that kind of commitment to Christ, but to other people. A small group. A church. You've got to have that kind of commitment. You know, I think it's very important. Community is important. I read a book not long ago. It was about a few years ago, actually. It's called Tender Warrior by Stu Weber. And I recommend any man here this morning to read that book. It was a really great book, and it talked about having staying power. And I remember sharing a message about this not long ago here at the church about staying power and you know, sticking by the stuff and staying with your partner. And like Fireproof talked about, never leaving your partner behind, belonging to that person, having a lifelong commitment to that person, to have and to hold her in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. Till death do us part. That's the kind of commitment you've got to have in any kind of relationship. If that relationship's going to last, you've got to be willing to belong to one another. That no matter what that other person says, no matter what that other person does, I'm going to love them anyway. Right? That's what Jesus did for us. Don't use the D word in your family. What is the D word? Divorce. You might as well go ahead and get that word out of your vocabulary in your marriage relationship right now. Close the trap door, or no, the escape door. That's a trap too. The escape door that we think is the door of divorce, we think it's a way of escape, but really it's a trap. It's a trap of the devil. And you know, that, and we think it's the easy way out, but it just causes more hurt and more pain. It's better just to go through that tunnel of conflict, because that next relationship you might get into, you're going to have to go through that another tunnel of conflict. And you're not going to have any kind of commitment or real lasting love in life until you're willing to at least get through the tunnel of conflict with somebody, whether it's a marriage relationship, a small group, a church. We all got problems. That's why we got to have love and forgiveness. We've got to love and forgive one another as Christ loved and forgave us. We've got to have it for one another. Have you ever gone to any single individual besides your spouse and said, I just want you to know that I'm going to be with you no matter what. I'm going to be there for you. Hopefully you've gone to your spouse, to your children, and said, you know what, I'm here, and I ain't going anywhere. And I've told my wife before, I said, you can try to walk out on me, but it ain't going to work. I'm just going to follow you. Okay? And we just kind of have that understanding, no matter what happens. Okay? Divorce is an option. Shooting one another might be an option. I don't know. But at times. But no, I'm just kidding. We wouldn't do that. But anyway, hey, we've got to have this kind of commitment to one another. Proverbs 17:17. I just like the New International Version here. It says, a friend loves at all times. Man, I love that verse. That's the kind of love we ought to have for one another. Friends are in your corner when you're cornered. They don't say, I'm just going to remain neutral. When you get put in a corner by something that's going on around you, no, a friend is willing to come alongside you to build you up and to help you. We've got to choose to believe. We've got to choose to belong. And number three, we've got to choose to become like Christ. John 15, verses 12 and 13 is like this. The Word of God says this. This is my commandment. This is what Jesus said. He said, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are what you're committed to. Who are you committed to? What are you committed to in your life? You can know the answer to that question by asking yourself this: how do I spend my thoughts? How do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? How do I spend my relationships? You answer that question and you'll know what you're committed to. Some of us, we're committed to just ourselves, whatever we want. Think about this. When you've already paid the bills and you thank God that you've had enough money to pay your bills and you know, you've paid for gas and groceries and you've tithed and you might have a little bit of money, maybe a little bit of money left over, What do you do with that little bit of money that you have left over? You spend it on yourself? Do whatever you want to do? Or what do you allow God to do with that money? I don't know. It's just something to think about. Whatever you do with that money, that, you know, that's probably what you are committed to. All right? And so now Jesus said here he wants us to be like him in our love for one another. In fact, the Word of God even says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And it also says there, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Christ is, he's the one that we need to compare ourselves to, not that other couple. We don't need to compare ourselves to Joel and Rachel Brooks. You don't need to compare yourselves to Todd and Christy Felkel. You don't need to compare yourselves to Bud and Tammy Wren. See, we're not the standard. Jesus is the standard. See, you're always going to find somebody that you're better than them. You're always going to find somebody that you're worse than them. One of the strong points and the great things I love about this church is that there's such a loving, non-judgmental, accepting atmosphere here. And thank God for that. And we have that. We need to keep that and guard that. And everybody that walks through these doors, we need to make sure that they know about that and they see that. That ought to be our first impression as First Impressions team. And we want to get that across. But if we're going to continue to have that as a family of God, then we've got to choose to become more like Christ. Moving towards him together. Not looking to someone else or something else, or even to ourselves, but looking to him and becoming like Christ. Not that we will be gods, but we'll be godly in Christ Jesus, right? So let's do this together. You know what? Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you know what? I don't have that kind of strong, healthy relationship. And I'm beginning to understand the building blocks of a healthy relationship. You know, I want to encourage you to humble yourself and start with this new relationship. As you begin to grow your relationships, humble yourself, be willing to make it through that tunnel of conflict, be committed to Christ. That's the first decision you've got to make. If you've never made a commitment to follow Christ with your entire life, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. And if you think that's where you are right now, maybe you've never taken that very first step of committing your life to Christ. If you've never done that, I want to encourage you to take that connection card and say, my decision today is I want to follow Christ. Or maybe you just want to know more information about that. You can check that on your connection card, and we'll get in touch with you. And so that would be some next steps you can take on commitment to Christ, and then you can take a next step. I want to encourage you to get involved with the 101 class that we're having next month, third Sunday in March. Got some packets back there on the information booth. If we run out, I can get more. And join some of these classes like Fireproof Your Marriage and get involved with them, okay? All right? And learn more about what it means to believe in Christ, to belong to Christ, to become more like Christ, so you can have a healthy relationship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, just thank you for what we've learned today. Thank you for everyone that was involved and participated in the worship service. And thank you for each and every person here. And God, thank you for what you're teaching us about how to be committed to one another. God, help us to make these choices on a daily basis. God, that for our homes, that we would choose to love God, to serve the Lord. God, help us to believe and to belong and to become like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to encourage you to have a good day today. I hope you enjoyed the message, and I hope it encouraged you. And be sure to put your connection cards and your offering in the offering basket as you leave this morning. And there's also some books back here, the Love Dare book. Be sure to get the Love Dare book. We've got some back here. My wife, Christy, will be back there to help you get those. But anyway, have a great day, and God bless you.